Off the Ball, GAA.
Hugs are not allowed in hurling, lads. Seamus might disagree with me and say it was soft, but he stood him up, but he had his hands around him and he literally hugged him.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. Off the Ball's Rugby Daily with Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Irish rugby. Never stop competing.
Welcome to Wednesday's Rugby Daily. I'm Richie McCormack. On the way, Ross Byrne is set for a move to the English Premiership. Warren Gatland speaks for the first time since stepping down as Wales head coach. And there's more from the Ireland camp ahead of Saturday's Six Nations clash with Wales. Rugby Daily on Off the Ball is with Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Irish rugby. Never stop competing. First up today, Gloucester looks set to have won the race to sign Leinster at half. Ross Byrne, the Premiership club, need a replacement this summer for Santiago Carreras, who's joining Bath at the end of this season. Byrne, of course, has fallen down the pecking order at Leinster following the emergence of Sam Prendergast there and was a replacement for Kieran Frawley in last week's URC win over the Ospreys. The 29-year-old had attracted interest from Montpellier, according to recent reports in France, but the Daily Mail report today that Gloucester will announce Byrne's signing on a 3-year contract in the coming weeks. Byrne will battle with the experienced Wales international Gareth Anscombe for the number 10 jersey at Kingsholm next season. His brother Harry is already working in the Premiership, having joined Bristol on loan until the end of this season. The Irish Independent say that the IRFU want to see Harry Byrne move to another Irish province in the summer, despite him turning down a move to Connacht last year. On a recent edition of Monday Night Rugby, Fiona Hayes weighed up the pros and cons for both Leinster and Ross Byrne of a potential move away from the province.
They will want to hold on to him. I mean, you saw how good he was when he came in and what he could do that Australia game, those pressure kicks, to have a player like that on the bench to be able to do that. But the question, I suppose, with Ross Byrne will be, and with his conversations with Leinster going forward, if he's happy to be that impact player coming off the bench, if there's a chance, you know, just say Frawley does go up to Ireland, he starts to get more game time. They're saying we want to see Frawley a lot at 10. We got Prendergast coming through. So then it comes to European games, those big, huge games that any player wants to be part of. And maybe they don't carry a second 10 on the bench, you know, or that. And he's missing out in those big moments. So I think it's going to be a conversation about where he is in the pecking order. And that's very hard conversation to have because he's played with that team his whole life. You can see he absolutely adores it. His brother is also there, but from a playing perspective, I think it would be just brilliant for him to go to France. Yes, Leinster would miss him, but it also gives the chance of just say Harry comes in, you've got Sam Prendergast. You know, there's always injuries in the game and that will give them a chance to explore. But for someone like Ross Byrne, if he's told, yes, you can push, we still want you in that spot going for that 10 position, he should probably stay and fight. But from my perspective, with the likes of Prendergast coming through, you've got Frawley, you know, a lot of people talking about him in line, himself and Crowley going to battle that out. It's very hard for Ross Byrne to hear that. And probably, you know, yes, he's had a couple of injuries, but he hasn't had very many bad games for Leinster. He hasn't played badly for Ireland when he's been there as well, but it's just the nature of the game. And with young out halves coming through, it's always that question, do I stay and battle it out? Or is it time now for me to play a different type of rugby as well? He's been with Leinster his whole life.
You can hear lots more of our rugby coverage by becoming an Off the Ball member now. And on tonight's Off the Ball, we'll be joined by Gerry Thornley and Wales legend Jonathan Davies as we look ahead to Saturday's Six Nations clash with Wales. According to reports, Jack Crowley is pushing for a first Ireland start since November's win over Argentina in Saturday's game. The Munster fly half could rotate with Sam Prendergast for Saturday's showdown with Wales in Cardiff. Other potential changes seem far more straightforward, with the injured Ronan Kelleher to be replaced by Dan Sheehan, and Jack Conan will take the number 8 shirt from captain Caelan Doris, who misses Saturday's game with a knee injury. Fit again pair Joe McCarthy and Mac Hansen could also be parachuted back into the side, which Simon Easterby will reveal tomorrow. Gary Ringrose is also pushing for a return to the starting 15, which would continue rotation of Ireland's centres. Robbie Henshaw says that rotation has been pretty seamless, and he's been outlining the difference between playing at 12 and 13.
Physically tougher, yeah. You'd feel tougher at 12, yeah, definitely in terms of contacts, but probably on the lungs and the running meters at 13, you're doing more, a lot. So probably demanding wise, running wise, you're doing a lot more at 13. Because you're in more space.
Incredibly, Henshaw has never won a Six Nations fixture in Cardiff. That's a stat he wants to change this week.
Yeah, incredibly tough place to play, and we've had some great battles with Wales over the years. But I think such a passionate crowd, you know, and when the crowd get behind them, and if they get a roll on, they're hard to stop. So I think, yeah, it's going to be a great atmosphere, and it's going to be a huge test.
And with a new head coach and wholescale changes expected from Wales, Henshaw has been explaining how Ireland can prepare for what will be such an unknown prospect.
Yeah, I mean, we can look at a bit of Cardiff footage that he was the head coach for Cardiff, so we can look at little bits of their detail there. Look at the individuals that they've selected, that they've brought into camp. So, like Gareth Anscombe is a threat, definitely. So I think, yeah, we just need to do our work and make sure we just kind of have a look at what they've produced, certainly in the Cardiff Blues, and then individually their threats.
Among the changes expected from Matt Sherratt for Wales is a debut for Scarlets fullback Ellis Mee. And having been recalled to the squad this week, Gareth Anscombe and Max Llewellyn are both expected to start against Ireland. Now, Warren Gatland has broken his silence for the first time since leaving the Wales head coach's job last week. The Kiwi departed after their losing streak extended to 14 matches with a defeat to Italy in Rome. During Gatland's second spell in charge, Wales won just 6 tests, with the most recent of those against Georgia at the World Cup, where Gatland told the Telegraph's Gavin Mears that they exceeded expectations. He admits that over the past 18 months, though, they haven't lived up to those expectations. In a wide-ranging interview, Gatland admitted to being hurting from the poor run of results and his subsequent departure. He also hit upon the systemic problems within Welsh rugby, which he believes goes back to the 80s when a teacher strike against Thatcher reforms, in Gatland's eyes, helped kill the schools game in Welsh rugby. He highlighted the funding to Irish schools as a reason for their continued success, and Gatland also believes England have also had a part to play in strip mining Welsh talent.
All those schools at the semi-finals and finals coming along and tapping up Welsh talent to strengthen their own teams, and so it's a massive challenge. And yeah, it's hard when you're competing with a big brother across the bridge, you know. And that's when they've got the resources and the financial power to target. Everyone needs to be aware of and make sure that we do everything in our power to either, if those players do go across for education and rugby, that, you know, they come back as well. But like I said, we've got to make sure then the academies are delivering and the regions are delivering and being successful, and the national team's being successful as well.
Michael Checa has emerged as a strong contender to replace Joe Schmidt as Wallabies head coach. Schmidt is stepping down later this year at the end of his current contract. Queensland Reds head coach and former Schmidt deputy with Ireland, Les Kiss, was believed to be the front runner to replace the Kiwi. He's also spoken to Rugby Australia CEO Phil Waugh, who met with Checa yesterday, adding to speculation he could return to a job he left in 2019. During that stint, Checa oversaw 68 tests, leaving after their 2019 World Cup quarterfinal defeat to England. Finally, La Rochelle winger Raymond Rule has been forced to retire from rugby with immediate effect due to an Achilles injury. The 32-year-old's last appearance for Ronan O'Gara's side came in a 16-minute cameo away to Castres in April. That was just his second appearance of that season and ultimately the last of his career. The former Springbok international helped La Rochelle reach 3 consecutive Champions Cup finals and scored the opening try in their 2022 defeat of Leinster. Rule won 7 caps for his country in the middle of 2017. O'Gara says it was a pleasure to coach Rule, adding that his presence will leave a huge gap in the La Rochelle dressing room. That's it for today's Rugby Daily. Don't forget to subscribe to the OTB Rugby feed to keep this podcast coming to you free of charge, Monday to Friday. I'm Richie McCormack, and I'll be back with more Rugby Daily for you, with thanks to Bank of Ireland, tomorrow. Till then, thanks for listening.
I want there to be a sense of freedom for the Lions to play. This is the best of the best. This is aspirational. That's what I'm looking at when I look at the Lions.
What do you want? It's heart. That's what we want. 15 heart, 15 mind on the same tune. It's what we want from the start to the end.
And I've read a huge amount of negative commentary, whether this is an anachronistic imperial team. But this is a tradition of over 100 years of the coming together of 4 teams that it's incredibly awkward. People say, well, when Northern Hemisphere teams can go down and beat a Southern Hemisphere team, why do we need 4 teams to do it? It's because of the rarity value. It's because of the difficulty of it. It is because of the coming together of the 4 teams. It's how you get somebody to plant a philosophy on top of those. so that this becomes a tour for the ages, because that's aspirational.
It's what you're looking for. It's what I'll never dream for. It's our day, our biggest day.